Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
And you know, he is not just your savior for that day. He's still your savior for today. Hallelujah. His commitment is massive. I say his commitment to you is massive. The only person who is not seeing it is you. I'm telling you. Satan knows. Everybody knows that in God's book, you are the only actor there. And that's how important you are. You are so important, he chose to come. He not only redeemed you, he redeemed all of creation. All of every aspect of creation needed. Can you imagine that he didn't redeem creation? The level of deterioration will still be is massive. And I will show you a few things this morning. You know, but for me today is a day of joy. Because not only you see, and it's unfortunate that the more Satan keeps planning, God is always two steps ahead of him. The scripture says he will save us to the utmost. Wow. Please, I want you to congratulate someone standing beside you. I say, I'm glad you are here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, this morning we have quite a bit of John. Now, the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" Please consider that the word is what? Passover. And he said, "Go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master says, my time is at hand, and I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Please go on. And when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said unto them, "That one of you shall betray me." And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I? I don't know what you are thinking, but am I the one?" And he answered and said, "He that dippeth his hands with me in the dish, the same shall betray me." Hold on here for a second. Let me say something to you. There are many things that are happening in your life that the only person who thinks these circumstances are ordinary is you. God knows the holiness and sanctity of this moment. Satan knows the holiness and sanctity of this moment. But for you, it is an event. When the priest is about to go into the holiest of all, nobody touches him. Nobody does anything with him. This instruction not to touch him was a divine instruction. Number one, your heart is not right with me. We are not on the same page. The moment you touch me, you defy me. Come on, are you here? You sometimes people think God makes a big deal out of nothing. No. There's a reason why he said this particular, they were all eating there. It was not an issue until Judas, the matter of Judas came up. Next verse. "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed, as it had been good for that man if he had not been born." That this is heaven's verdict on whoever that man is. You notice he didn't mention Judas' name. This, as at this point, the decision on who this would be was still open. It could be Peter. Because Satan, if he cannot stop your prophecy, he will look for weakness in your character. Are you with me? Yeah. If Satan can't stop you, he will look for weakness in your character. Bam, disqualifies you. Next verse. And that's why, let me tell you. One of the purposes of the local church is accountability. not attendance. If I do not see you in church, forget about the fact that I'm a pastor. I should be able to ask you, why? Because if you don't show up at your office, someone is going to call you or issue you a query. And can I shock you? Everybody is looking for something bigger than himself to belong to. If you belong to a community, every group you belong to will demand accountability from you. If you are the treasurer of the Lions Club, you can't just disappear. Our money is with you. You can't stop picking your calls. The woman that takes our job, the cooperative, she's not picking her calls. She will call him, she'll call him. She's not picking. Let's go and visit her. Use another number. So it's a lie of the devil. You've got to understand that the problem that rose up from the life of Judas started from the moment he no longer considered himself accountable. And this issue is a very serious matter. It is the difference between moving from junior level to senior management, accountability. Who is thinking long term with the organization? If I work for Brother Bimbo, and people come in and go out, people come, but you know, over the years, I've been there. He would rather promote me. It's not a question of whether he desires. He has been there, he gets the job done. He would rather make me senior manager in charge of project management, because he knows that even from my conversation, I'm thinking the business. I'm not thinking, oh, let me look for one other company that will pay me. No, he can, from the conversation, he will be shocked if I said I was going, because the conversation has moved from the work to the business. That's how you make senior management. Not that you go for a meeting and say, any challenge, you say, we don't have stapler in our team. We don't have, we raise expense for paper. They did not give us paper. We need to work. Who is this person asking for pencil and paper? But when you come to the same meeting and you are discussing the business, somebody, okay, let's keep an eye on her. I'm telling you, cheat code. People pay me $200,000 to hear this thing. Just take it. That's my new Easter gift to you on how to make senior management. The moment the brother was no longer accountable, unconsciously he couldn't even hide it. He didn't even know that what he was doing was already giving negative vibes. He didn't know. But because Jesus was senior management, he knew. Senior management can tell who is leaving the organization long time before even the person leaving knows that he's going to leave. Put up that scripture. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And for me, it is the effrontery. It's the effrontery. You left our midst. You went to some folks. You collected some money and made allegiances and covenants and promised to deliver me. Are you trying to test my prophetic gift? Where is this guy? You want to see if I'm a prophet? Say, shame me. He won me. And you are the one. Look at this guy. He wanted to see, maybe the guy is even sharp. Like, you know, when you are too close to a prophet, he doesn't see anything. But let's even test him. The master is here. Hey, let's see what Jesus said. He was the only one that Jesus answered. Say, he won me. You said it too. You said you are the one. I didn't say so. Please have your seats. This is very. I always love the story of Judas, Peter, Elijah. There are some of these fancy stories. But today, in the Jewish culture, is the celebration of what we know as Yom Kippur. Are we familiar with Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is the celebration for the Passover, and is the most important. So today we want to look at certain things that are very important. And I want you may need to follow me mentally and probably take some notes. There is nothing that God is doing in the earth that he does not first provide a model or a blueprint in scriptures. So what that means is, if God is going to come do something in your life, for instance, in your life, he will first many times provide a model for that thing, in such a way that thing points to something that is bigger or something that is going to be glorious in the future. If God wants to bring a president out of your family, he will first bring out someone and make him a local government chairman. Now, nobody has ever been a local government chairman in your family. All of a sudden, like, we have somebody. Then an aspiration begins to rise within the family. And one day, maybe 50 years later, one of your sons will just rise up and you will be alive. You will be seated when your son will be coronated as president of Nigeria. You understand? But you see, the promise was made to you. But the fulfillment of prophecy was for your son or for your son's son. And you have to understand that there are certain things that are given to you, but they are generational. You are to begin the process, but the ones that we get to Canaan will not be the ones that left Egypt. So your obedience is very significant, because if you are not obedient, you circumvent at least two or three generations. Your obedience may have generational significance, and you've got to be very careful. When the Lord wants to do something, he first carries out that activity in the spiritual realm. You need to understand, please note and how this thing works. He first carries out that transaction in the spiritual realm. The second thing he does is that he looks for somebody to model that thing. Then the third thing he does is that he now actually carries out the transaction. So in the scriptures, we are told that when we read the book of Genesis, you tend to get the picture or the impression that God was surprised when Adam sinned. Later, the scripture will tell us that Jesus was the Lamb before the foundation of the world, and he was crucified ever before the world was made. Now, if you hear that statement and you think God meant it, you would have missed out on something. You see, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created. That created was in a timeless era, which means there was no clock, there was no time counting. And scriptures later told us that before the world, that means before ever Adam showed up, before ever there was sin, before whatever that is happening now is happening, God already saw. And I need you to understand that God is prophetic. There's nothing that surprises him. And if you are sensitive, God is always speaking to you. You are the one who thinks it's your mind. You are the one who thinks it is your mind. So ever before God framed the worlds and the planetary bodies, he had already seen the problem and he had offered his own son to himself as a sacrifice. That is significant. The second level of significance, and I want to run you through a few things in the scripture, is that after Adam sinned, God was the first person to offer blood as sacrifice. Are we good on that one? God was the first person to shed blood, not Cain. Because there's something about the law of first mention. A proper definition will be derived from the first time that concept or theory is generated or used. So when Adam and Eve sinned, they used figs to cover their body, and God said, no, this one will not cover you. You're already exposed. So God killed an animal and used the skin to cover them. So he had to shed the blood of that animal, symbolizing that without the shedding of blood, there will be no remission of sin. And that was why our brother was able to live for extra 900 years. Because God covered him in mercy. In Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, the scripture establishes that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And he said, through the blood, I have made an atonement for your souls. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. Through the blood, we make atonement for the soul. Which means, in the spiritual realm, they recognize blood. Are we together? They recognize blood. And you'll be a child. You'll be naive to think the spiritual world recognizes cowries. Huh? There was a man of God who went to preach in one village. And he saw, after his evangelism, you know, he was hungry. And he saw the sacrifice at the roundabout. And he packed it with the eggs and palm oil, everything. He just packed everything. Father, I thank you for divine provision. You are a faithful God. And yet, say, God bless those who have provided this food. Let them bring another one. Because the man of God needs to eat. There's a level where you say, someone like me, like, no, I don't touch this. But when you're on the missionary field, you have to adjust. Because this may be the only meal before your next crusade. And you need energy to shout. When you are preaching, you won't collapse. They say, it was the anointing. The pastor is hungry. He's tired. Shout, oh, it's in the spirit. This man has been fasting for 7 days. We ask him that. This one, check him. Scripture says, do you have that scripture? I want to put it up. Leviticus 17:11. He said, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar. Upon the altar. You can't give it to him anyhow. It has to be on the altar. And when you put it on the altar, you can't take it back. To make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood. Come on, say it's the blood that makes the atonement. The sacrifice for the soul. So you need to understand how God sees blood. How the spiritual realm sees blood. Alright, let's move on very quickly because I've made a promise that we are going to close very early. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13, the scripture establishes, says, when I see the blood, I will pass, what? Over you. I will pass over you. See, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So Egypt in this scripture represents bondage, and they were in Goshen, and God wanted to deliver them. And this time around, he didn't do it with screaming, he didn't do it with noise. God chose that day, a day of darkness. And you will remember that when Jesus was being crucified, there was darkness. It was daylight, but there was darkness. So you get what I'm saying, that God many times will represent what he's going to do in the future and give you a sign of it. He will give you a sign of it. And people are like, what manner of sign is this? But that sign is for another 200 years. Only history will now remind us that, oh, this was the ground that this revivalist prayed. I was listening to a particular man of God on, I don't remember if it was on Instagram or YouTube. And he was talking about how they went to the UK and they were visiting some sites, and they took them to the house where one of these great revivalists, John Knox. You know, where he prayed. And then everybody left the room and he stayed back. See, God, do it one more time. God, do it one more time. Use me. Every other person had got into the bus and they realized someone was missing and they started looking for him and they met him on the knees, where they saw the signs of where the man of God used to pray, because his knees had marked the ground. So you imagine what kind of prayer he was praying. It's violent prayer. It's not a what's up prayer. It's violent prayer. When your body begins to mark the ground. You know, and that was the story of another great revival in the land. So, put up that scripture, please. So you can look at this. Whenever I read scriptures like this, I begin to, the dots just begin to come together. Okay, there was darkness when Jesus died. The Israelites were in bondage. On this other side, mankind is in bondage. We are God's people, selected, but we are bound. We could not help ourselves. Israel could not break out of the hold of Pharaoh. And God said, through the blood, not through the sword, through the blood, I will bring you out. So when God told them, he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Because what he was saying here is that, look, the moment I see the blood, God will not turn his back. He will either move in your favor or move in vengeance. But in this particular case, he moved twice. He moved in favor to release his people. And then he moved in vengeance and killed all the firstborn sons. By this signifying that the throne of darkness will not have an inheritance. Are we together? Say, by this signifying that the throne of darkness, we have no continuation. There will be no need for any other work to be done apart from what Jesus has established. And the brothers, the people who are in this Egypt as at this time, didn't see the big picture. They only saw the part that pertained to them. Yet, God was speaking of something yet to come. You know, like I shared with you, I said, when the Lord wants to do something, he first carries out that experiment in the spiritual realm. Then he comes out and finds a model, someone to replicate that that vision. Then he now goes into the future and actually carries out his intention. And some of these things could be hundreds of years apart. If God did it in the days of Abraham and God did it in the days of Moses, believe me, we may be a transit point. Every one of us here may be a transit point for something that is huge that God wants to do that will bring Jesus back. Say amen. A generation will rise on this earth one day, and they will not have any other message. But come soon. Come soon. Every revelation that you'll be hearing there will not be high sounding nonsense. What you'll be hearing, the message given to that generation is, he is here. He is here. He is coming soon. And can I shock you, as many of you might not be aware, that we have heard it preached and said that the time of the coming of Jesus will not be known. Right? Yes. But that season will be known to the church. The scripture says, for we are not in darkness concerning the times and the season as to when the Lord will come. We are not in the dark. We are not in the dark. We will not know the exact day, but we will know the era. And one of the signs you will see and discern is that when we enter into that era, you will find that there will be a trumpet sound. That will be the message that everybody will be preaching. There's going to be an awareness. Just like many years ago, many, many years ago, in Nigeria, we had the Anglican Church, we had the Presbyterian, we had the Catholic Church, and yet they struggled to penetrate some of the hinterlands of the Southwest Nigeria. We had the Assemblies of God somewhere in the East. Yet they could not, the Anglicans were doing a great job, but they could not penetrate certain areas because of witchcraft. Then God brought Ayo Babalola. When Ayo Babalola died, the Archbishop of the Catholic Church then, I think it was the Catholic Church, what he said about him, he said, this man did in 6 weeks what we failed to do in 60 years. That's the Archbishop or the Bishop, whatever is the signal. He said, because the man came, he said, the resistance you are facing requires power. You have Bible, you have teaching, liturgy, you have doctrine. He said, but this thing is witchcraft. And witchcraft only answers or responds to one language, power. You don't negotiate with witchcraft. That's why scripture says, suffer not a witch to live. Because that person you are calling a witch crossed many lines to become a witch. That person swore his heart and life and allegiance to Satan. You don't become a witch by eating kola nut. You become a witch by swearing allegiances. That if you have to put your mother on the table, you will put her there. That's what it means. You change families. To become a witch is that you change families. You can pull your mother and your brother and you become so hardened. You don't blink. Only God can decide if a witch should live. That's my understanding. But generally, suffer not a witch to live. So are you a witch? That's the only question. That's what my father asked some people. He said, are you a witch on live television? Say, yes, yes, yes. Say, tell me now. I will decide your fate. Some of you, and this is why you are very weak in spiritual warfare, because you are talking too much. Somebody is going after your husband. They are saying, leave my husband. Marry your own husband. No, just call the girl. What's her name? Franca. How are you? I'm Mrs. Say, well, we've not met. And I do hope we will not have any occasion to meet after this call. So I'm aware whatever it is you are doing with my husband, but it ends today. All right? So I'm not going to tell you to leave, but I'm going to tell you whatever you believe in, hold on to it. Because I will end you. Yes. He said, and I'm telling you this because if your family members, you won't die, you. I said, but you will suffer. I said, your family members will beg and I will not listen. But I advise you, well, if you feel maybe, and I'm not threatening you, but I would, this is just my own way of saying, move on with your life. And don't worry about my husband, he'll be fine. But if you so think that maybe I'm joking, well, peradventure, you say, we may want to take it further. But I assure you, that it will not end well for you. Oh, have a nice day. So just drop it. Just drop it. They be like, what was that call about? It's when you don't have power, you'll be saying, the Bible says, settle with your enemy at the gate. Say, let's say, you are my brother. I'm not your brother. Say, let's settle. Say, you know, we used to be good friends. No, let's go to court. No. Okay, what do you want? Because you don't have power. If the judge that will rule that case was your wife, and somebody was taking you to court, you'd just be smiling. your uncle is the chief justice of the state. Your wife, who is also a chief justice, the one who is going to rule on the case. Then, you know, you are just laughing like, let's go. Is it not for the judge to say, I don't find any concrete evidence? Somebody did it against one of my landlords. My landlord started crying. My landlord had a good case. But the person the tenant he was taking to court, had legs in the judiciary. It's just for them to say this thing is not, we don't understand why people are here. It's not convincing. Now the brother is living in that house free of charge. So please understand that there are patterns. God was the first person to shed blood and he modeled it. One other way that God modeled the redemption of man was through asking, was when he asked Abraham to get on a mountain and offer his son. Now, there's something you need to understand about Isaac. Just the same way that Abraham desired and prayed for Isaac, and Isaac delayed to come. It was in the same way God could not bring his son immediately into the world when Adam fell. Because there had to be a divine timing. There was a necessary quorum. There was a population that needed to be on earth, as far as God is concerned, to justify that if he dies now, he's standing in between the past and the future. A population strong enough, strong enough for us to carry out this transaction. If he had done it in the day of Adam, there will be no witness. There will be no historical records. And that's why, as interesting as the, well, it's not as interesting, as wonderful, well, it's not even as wonderful, as intriguing as the Quran is, you know it's just a copied text. They copied it. You know, copy some from Hebrew text, copy some from the Bible. They copied everywhere, and they still didn't copy well. Because copy well is different from copyright. One of my favorite affairs said that the Bible, that Muhammad was sent to correct some of the errors in the Bible. And I asked a simple question. How can a man that lived 600 years after Jesus lived and died, you never met him, you never met any of his disciples, Jesus didn't even speak Arabic, and you are here telling me that you are here to correct every other revelation, but after you there will be no other prophet? Abba, Oga. Let's allow other prophets come now, so I come and correct you. So let's not be like those who go to the mosque, remove their shoes, and you come to church, remove your mind. As I'm preaching, I want you to follow along. Because sometimes you may find that you are hearing something that you've always heard as a child, but you really don't understand the legal basis, the legal framework for why this thing is the way it is. And I'm here explaining to you that across the Old Testament, God kept putting pointers here and there to show us that there is something coming. Every time that the Israelites stood before God and offered a sacrifice, all God was saying was, the day Jesus will be killed. When Abraham stood on that mountain and he was about to offer his son, as far as he was concerned, that boy was already dead. Because the Romans will later tell us that he knew that God was able to bring his son back to life. God only record with Isaac. Just the same way God only had one son, Jesus. When he was about to kill that boy, there was an altar. Just the same way there was Golgotha, there was Calvary. At some point in that journey, when Jesus picked the cross and was going to Calvary, to Golgotha, there was a man that was brought in to help him carry the body. It was a black man. Huh? That black man, symbolic of somebody who would also be crucified, he carried the cross and bore it like the man who was going to be killed. And yet God had already prepared for himself his own sacrifice. So why God led Abraham to the mountain on the premise of killing his son and offering him to God? God had prepared a ram. And all through that moment, when they built the altar and he tied the hands of his son and put him on that altar, he was not even aware there was something that had been provided. Until the Lord said, do not touch him. Now, peradventure, the Lord said, kill. But you later did not hear when he said, don't kill again. Whose fault? God? You know, God spoke now. That's why you have to be in the spirit. Because there are certain instructions God gives you. He really doesn't want to see you perform. He only wants to see your willingness. God may ask you to take off your jacket now and give it to this brother. And the moment he's just watching your attitude. The moment you're like, thank you, Lord. Thank you for it. I say, no, don't give it to him again. I just need to be sure that this thing is not an issue between us. You can take your jacket back. Don't be saying, no, God said I must give it. Oh, he has said something else. So you just turned off your phone. You didn't even wait for the next instruction. These things are very important in the prophetic. When you hear God, you have to be open-minded. Because God doesn't just call you and turn off his phone. He may have some other things to say to you. Again, while he was on that mountain, the Lord said to him, do not touch the lad, for now I can see that you love me. And the Lord began to bless him. And the Lord told him to look by his side. And he saw, oh goodness, he saw a ram that was caught in a what? In a tree of what? Thorns. And when Jesus stood on the cross, before he died, hey, remember one thing. There's a crown. God kept leaving us snippets, ideas. He was pointing us in a certain direction that there was no way there would be redemption if there was no death. And that's why Jesus called Peter Satan. Jesus didn't say, no, let me correct your doctrinal error. He said, this is Satan. Anybody that we have been on this thing before the world began. You just have 100 years to live here. This is a divine agenda. Say, you are Satan. And you have a right to call Satan. When the Lord has spoken and somebody is trying to give you counsel, against that which the Lord, you have the permission to call that person Satan. It's not the person, no. It's the spirit that is talking. Because the Lord has told you clearly, this is what I want you to do. I'm showing you from the Old Testament blueprints of redemption. Because when I touch down on where I'm actually going, well, spoiler alert, this message is not prepared. So we've spoken about the Passover, right? We've spoken about Adam. We've spoken about the life of the flesh is in the blood. We've spoken about, what else? What else? You guys are not writing. It's okay. You listen to the message. Then on Tuesday, I spoke to us about the high priest taking the two animals that will be offered to the Lord. The first one will be offered as a sacrifice for the remission of sin and presented to the Lord. The second one, the priest will lay his hands on the head of that animal and speak the sins of the people. You are here on Tuesday. He will speak the sins of the people over that goat. And I told you that that goat is, it was called scapegoat. But the word scapegoat was translated Azazel. Azazel is a ruling spirit in the kingdom of darkness. Azazel, A-Z-A-Z-E-L. It's a ruling spirit. One of the very powerful princes of hell. Very stubborn. Very extremely stubborn. It does not have power over you if you don't have anything of his. A subject for another day. Alright, so we refer to this season as what we call Yom Kippur, because it is the day of atonement. Hallelujah. Every one of us today would have been lost in sin. I try to imagine where I would be. In those days, well, at the banking, there's nothing to you, nothing. I just imagine myself in my worst version. Jesus said, this one, get him for me. This one, yeah, this one, that, yeah, get him. Tie his leg. Tie his hand. Oh, yeah, drag him here. I am not following you. Say, you follow by force. Say, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Say, accept you. Accept. Say, I will serve you. I will preach. Oh, yeah, give my Bible. Some of us are just too dangerous to be on the loose. Say this one. Do you know the people that trained me on righteousness, what they taught me? I remember so many things. So, you know the things I need to remember, I don't remember. How many of you have read a Bible chapter in the morning? You can't even remember the chapter in the afternoon. Do you know what that brother told me? He told me, he said, go for the girls that are in church. That's how I was trained. Satan has been on my case since. So you see those ones? He told me, he said, you have only one mission. To prove that they don't really believe in God. I'm telling you, that's what I was taught. I still know my discipler. The person that he told me, he said, you just want to go and prove a point that they don't really believe. They're just there to dance. And he was doing it and saying, this is how it's done. He said, can you see? I said, yes. So he's not like me. He's a very good guy. He has been coming to church since. He said, Pastor, you need to meet him. I don't want to meet your pastor. It's you I want. If the person is running away from your pastor, that's your first red flag. What are you hiding? And your pastor is a prophet too. I don't look you one. I have five eyes. These two eyes, the two spectacles, and the spiritual one. That's six. So you cannot escape my sight. If I cannot see the two, I wear my glass. If I say, I'll use my speech, I say, this man. It's amazing. So there are some very interesting things about Yom Kippur that I want. Yom Kippur is Y-O-M space K-I-P-P-U-R. Yom Kippur, the day of atonement. That's the day of forgiveness. And I want you to remember this. There is an activity in Leviticus chapter 16. We read Leviticus 16 on Tuesday, right? But there's an activity in Leviticus 16 that is very important. And that is what? The sprinkling of the blood upon the mercy seat. And I want to touch on that. Because again, you need to follow me from where we started. That there is nothing that is happening now that God didn't plan for. And when you look at the past, you get, just by studying the examples and the models, exactly what how God sees this particular process. And one of the things Satan will try to do is to diminish the level of importance that your traditional rites have. So people will come up and say, including pastors, they'll tell you, yeah, it's not about God is not telling us to partake of the Holy Communion. Eshe, thank you, sir. I agree. Can I go now? Can you open the door? I want to go home. We should not partake. You see, let me tell you something. If you trend on God, you are going to be in trouble. If you use God to trend, and you are trending for dangerous reasons, like Jesus is not Mary is not the mother of Jesus. You are trending with those kind of things. Jesus did not say we should take Holy Communion. It's not biblical. The angels are writing it down. There's one man I used to see on Facebook. Anytime one pastor is preaching, he will carry one stick like this. I don't know. I think some kind of VFX. He's waiting for you to say something stupid. He will now use your head and play golf. So me, I'm one of the angels God sent. We are writing everything down. When we are tired of you, we take our golf stick and send you to Karen and Muda. How you will know that what you are doing is not the gospel is if you cannot do it in a village. If you are put in a village where all they need is the gospel, sir, what will you be talking about? That thing you think you, like Jesus saved you, that's the gospel. You see these other ones, is Bekum Beku. What's Bekum Beku? It's like when you have eaten, you have overeaten, eh? You now begin to say rubbish. You know your condition is different from someone that still needs to eat. Or maybe they served you twice. They didn't serve the brother beside you at the party. So it's not as if he's hungry, but he becomes concerned. What was it about this brother? They brought pandediam, they brought jollof rice, they brought fried rice. We the brethren, the prayer department, we are here. So there's this particular experience where the high priest sprinkles blood on the mercy seat, and we are going to get there in a bit. But the first thing I want to explain here from Leviticus 16 is that if the blood of Jesus doesn't flow when your matter is being tabled in the mercy seat, you are not forgiven. The blood of Jesus is the only item recognized to wash away sins. You have to see it so that saying I'm sorry to her does not necessarily translate to forgiveness of sin. I may offend you and you say you forgive me, but if what I have done is against the law of God, I still need God's forgiveness. The scripture says in the book of Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him and by his stripes. So every time he was flogged, what came out? Blood. Because the Jewish guys, the church historian explained exactly how that whip was. It's not your regular belt. That whip is laced with thorns. And it touches you, blood must flow. It touches you, blood must flow. Put up that scripture. Amazingly, he was not wounded for his own sins. He was killed as a criminal, but yet he had no sin. It was for our own sin. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement. So they were just being wicked to him. Some of the guys who were put on duty to do this transaction didn't even know anything about it. It was just their shift. And they told him, blood must flow. Don't hold back. Say, and by his stripes, we were healed. Please give me the next verse. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. If we are asking for forgiveness, it would have made his death and pain. No, that's so much sense. We are going astray, century by century, millennia by millennia. And yet, while we were looking the other way, God was doing something very quiet. Do you know that as at the time he was killed, most of Israel didn't know he died? The people he fed, 5,000, 10,000, 20,000, they didn't know he died. If they had tried to crucify him on the day that he fed 20,000 people, those guys would not allow them. They won't allow them to take him. Because now they have eaten, they have strength. They selected a few people. Peradventure, if he truly rose, they could come back and claim he never really died. But do you know that even among those who did that job, there was a man, a centurion, who stood at his cross. He looked at his file. This man didn't really commit any crime. What he didn't really do anything worthy of death. He didn't commit any crime worthy of going to prison. He looked at him. While Jesus was on that cross, and the guy stood close to him, he heard the conversations that were going on around the cross, differently from those who were just saying, kill him, kill him. He was saying, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Father, it is finished. It is finished. Into your hands I commit my spirit. I thought this man was a criminal. This man is like talking to a deity. He's talking to someone. This guy is Jewish history tells us that that young officer was the centurion that Peter later ministered to. Because it didn't really make any sense why somebody would be sent to colonize another nation and the man would be building temples. It didn't really make any sense. You are supposed to come into Israel with your own gods, coming with your own cultural practices. And yet there was this centurion, this captain, who was building synagogues. He had an experience. He couldn't explain it. He wasn't fully established in it. And it's possible to have an encounter and not be established. You know, but the guy was doing certain things and like, and God said, no, let's send Peter to him. I tell you today, if Peter had refused, God, he would disappear and appear. God would make him disappear and appear in front of Cornelius. Because this one is, that guy was from Italy. That centurion was from Italy. And it was through that ministration that the gospel entered Europe. God is not thinking you. He's thinking civilizations. Every time God does something for you, he's looking at the implication of that thing for civilization. You might be in this church now and you are in Nigeria. And God is seeing that 200 years from now, everyone from your loins will be kings and princes in the U.S. So when God is dealing with you in that, he's not looking at the you of today. He's looking at the implication of what he's doing in your life. Because God may show up in your life now and say, oh, my daughter, the prince, and the president of the United States. And like, God's child. Because you are currently in Mushi. You are currently at Surulere. You are currently at Shomolu. You are still fighting with that landlord on why he increased your rent. But in Kotolo, what God wants to do in your life, God is not even looking at, he has thought, the thought processes have gone beyond your current challenges, your current situation. God is looking at the impact of what your children would bring to him, like 100 years from now, your grandchildren. And God said, I will see the travail of your soul and I'll be satisfied. I will walk with you so that you, maybe somewhere 40, 45 years, you will find yourself in the U.S. and then I will now start. God is a long-term planner. If you don't see that picture, you won't understand why you are the one who thinks you are waiting. God is only being strategic. God is not waiting, he's strategic. God saw Isaiah. Isaiah will come to the synagogue. For to us here the Lord. A son to us, a son is born. And unto us, a child is born, a son is given. Isaiah, sorry, all these things you normally say. What is it about? Say, I don't know. Isaiah, even you? Or you see someone like David. The word of the Lord will not fail until Shiloh comes. Until Shiloh comes. Until she... He said, David, that was a powerful ministration. Wow, that's a new one. Another banger. He said, can you explain to us what was the Holy Spirit? He said, I don't know. He said, but I perceive there is another rest for God's people. Or the other prophet standing before the Lord, I'm beginning to prophesy, for I will restore again the tabernacles of David, which was broken. Sir, we heard the message, but that part, we were trying to jot it down. We didn't quite understand. Sir, how do we put it down? Sir, I don't know. Sir, you too don't know. Say, just write it like that. Say, let's not try to interpret what God has yet kept secret. Just leave it. When his time come, it will speak. Huh? And that's why many of you struggle with interpretation of dreams. The dream was given, the interpretation is being waited, so that you can seek after God. But you went to your sister to discuss, hey, I had this dream. I saw 11 stars, and that was where your problem started from. The mistakes that Joseph made could have been avoided if he had a mentor. He spoke to the wrong people. Talking to the wrong person can elongate your journey. He got there, but by the time he got there, they just gave him seat. Say, is this my seat? Say, Prime Minister. I say, okay. Can I see? Say, yes. Say, do you want a wife? Say, yes. Yeah. He was too tired to say, is she born again? Is she? Say, okay, I'm married. You are welcome. What's your name? Hare Krishna. So you are enter. Talking to the wrong person, you need to ask the Lord questions, you know, and how God is so willing to speak, Robimbo, amazes me. The problem is not whether he would speak, the problem is what channel are you on? Well, I'm going to do my own thanksgiving separately, but let me tell you, this morning we woke up, you know, I was telling the pastor, I said, God saved me from death this morning. We woke up and I stepped into the bathroom. I woke up late. You know, whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So it is what it is. You just make sure you join us next year. You know, so, I can't say more than that. The Lord has not permitted me to say more than that. Man of God, I stepped into the bedroom and I had a vision. You know, if you studied my book, I had a chapter or a section on closed visions. And then I spoke about closed visions again at the prophetic school, right? Day one. Go and watch that live stream, day one, and read that. That was what happened to me. It was not a closed vision. It was like I was seeing it. I was also not. It was like I was part of the experience. And I saw my wife come into the bedroom and slipped. And fell down and hit her head. It was so bad. So as I was coming out of the bedroom, you know, like, I wanted to just tell her, be careful when you come in here. And I went down. I went down with the vision, still looking at it. I was watching the vision that it's not my wife, I was the one. Huh? There was nothing to hold on to. And I fell. There was the glass, is it the barricade now? The shower. I fell flat on my back. My head, like I was already, my head just, the only thing left was for my head to impact the glass. And my head stopped there. So I have bruises on my body. Now imagine, and the doors were shut, but the third was so heavy, my wife's head, where she was. And she had to come help me up. See, let me tell you, that vision prepared me. It was just 3 minutes away from when it happened. How did I see that vision? The same way I've been explaining to you. Huh? Say that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. That's the same way. Are you here? Are you here? What? I wasn't surprised. But I was trying to even get, because it was my wife I saw. I was just trying to open the door to say, hey, you need to be careful. The next thing I knew was that I was just this inch away from the glass. The blessing of redemption is that you no longer need Prophet Samuel to come and tell you tomorrow, don't go out. The moment Jesus died, he gave us the Holy Spirit. He said, I will give you the Holy Spirit who will abide with you forever. Forever. Your house, where you live now, that is the current residence of the Holy Spirit. So you don't say, come Holy Spirit. Yes, we'll say it because we reverence him, but he's here. When we say come, what we are saying is we want to have an experience with the awareness of your presence. Not that he's far away. The Holy Spirit has not lived in heaven for many years now. Oh, you didn't hear that one. I said the Holy Spirit has not lived in heaven for many years now. Since Acts chapter 2, when he came, he has not gone back. He lives with you. And he lives on the inside of you. But you see, let me tell you one other thing you may not have seen. When the Lord wanted to break the yoke of Pharaoh, he didn't do it with a sword. He told them to administer the blood. And he said, for every family, for every house, where the blood was placed, death will pass over them. Question. If there was an Egyptian who had a friend in Goshen, and he mistakenly came around as your dad was placing the blood over your house, and then the darkness fell and he could no longer go home, and he was a firstborn. He was a firstborn from Egypt. And he mistakenly came to see his friend. Darkness fell. He stayed back. He said, stay with us and eat. We will eat standing. No. He said, no problem. The angel will come. There's someone here. We need him to come out. You can't touch him. You can't touch him. Ah! The instruction was clear. That wherever the Egyptians, they must die. None of them was remain. See, the instruction was also given. Wherever I see the blood, wherever, that boy would have stumbled into divine protection. The way many of your siblings are being protected and they are not aware it is your prayers. Here you are. I didn't be praying. God is not. Woo! Stop praying for 3 months and see. Then you see the kind of calls that you'll be getting. Ramoke was doing something. She fell. She has one ankle broken. Everybody's so sad. They call it this one. He says, his visa. Something happened to his visa. He said, ah! I said, don't pray for 3 months. You are the priest over your house. And that's why there's so much warfare. That's why Satan wants you to be down. He wants you to have so many challenges. Let me tell you, there are people who have children out of wedlock. They were not even married and they gave birth. And you would think that it's because they are sinners. No! Satan saw what was the glory and he wanted to overladen them with guilt and problems so that they will not be able to rise. The devil is a liar. Amen. If you are alive and you hear my voice, with those 2 children, we are marching forward today. Amen. I'm marching forward. The devil is a liar. If you are still breathing, then it's late for Satan. That boy could have just come in there casually. The way many of us casually came and we found God. The way many people came into church, they didn't plan to give. They came to look for a girl. I came to look for a girl in one of those churches. One yellow thing like that. Girl finished from Fiwashai. There's one school, Fiwashai. The girl is very yellow. You understand? I have to be honest with you. Like, it was quite a thing for me. It was a sight. It was a sight. Even now, I still feel it. Amen. The girl was just there's this fellowship then, this popular. No, not Feka. There's Jesus. What's this other fellowship we had in Accra then that the Adegbeleros you are part of? This Youth for Christ. Is it? No. Is it? No, no. Is it Youth for Christ? Something like that. Not. Wait. It's not first. Youth for Christ. It was becoming a very popular thing for people just leaving school, secondary school. They will come around. There are so many events for, you know, young folks. The girl belonged to that group, and she also belonged to Feka. Feka was where Pastor Ayo was. Me, I wasn't really interested. I don't care who Pastor is. I don't know. I don't want to know. Is this girl? So I asked her. I said, "So where will you be?" She said, "I'll be at Feka." I said, "Where is she?" Just describe. Was that our school? Close to Glory Tabernacle, Ijapo Primary School or so. Yeah. So it's okay. I'll be there. I checked. My own is that she is this Jesus. We'll be doing it together. Catch them young. Me that I still needed to be caught. I was trying to catch them. But it's what it is. It's young people's love, you know. I was just going after the girl. Very innocent. The way she talks. See, this one. You won't need to walk. You won't walk in this house. Just be talking like this. Very innocent looking. You just talk. I'm sure you'll be around tomorrow. Ah, why not? The day I came with my only Bibeli, they ushered me to the front. That was my mistake. I just heard. I know I was a Christian, so it's not like I was a sinner. But this one, I was ready to leave Jesus for her. I just heard the person on the stage saying, "God's servant is in the house." He came all the way from Bida. God's servant, Prophet Hayo. You see? He had so much beard. Hey, who is this? Why? Just cut it. I was so, I don't use the word that is coming. Like, I was like, no. I was like, let's finish this one. Let me go and talk to this. We too, we are following God. Just do something about this bit. And I just said, "You're changing everything in obedience to Christ." That voice. Because in my own little way, I was given to God's presence. So when I hear somebody singing from that realm, I say, this level is even higher than my own. Pastor Ayo, we know we didn't have all these instruments. We just had one local drum. And the way we used to beat that drum, we are the only ones that beat it that way. You're changing. So if you're a brother in our fellowship, you must have fellowship with that drum. Because at some point, you'll be the only brother around to beat it. So you have to familiarize. In obedience. And he began to sing. Say, "For the Lord speaks to you, my sister." "What's your name?" Say, "Deborah." Say, and he started prophesying. He didn't preach. He just started prophesying. I was prophesying once in a while. But this one. When I finished, I wanted to meet him. No chance. Sir. That was the last day I had anything to do with that girl. If you like, come for fellowship. If you like, don't come for fellowship. When I come, I sit in front. It's amazing. God's presence can remove your addiction to any girl. Say, "Pastor, I tried to leave. I can't live." You've not met God. If you meet God, "I love you, but I love God more. Me only fair. I can't marry you." But do you know that if God had told me, "Go to Feka," the question I would have asked was, "What's Feka?" Because there was another tertiary institution in our state that was Federal College of Agriculture, FECA. I would have misinterpreted that prophecy to mean I should go to FECA, that institution, but FECA was a fellowship. All God needed to do was to put a signpost in front of me, bring me to FECA, and today, Pastor, you're still in my life. This year was in the year 1998. The presence of God became so intense that I would go to that classroom when there was no fellowship. I would sit alone on that small chair. You know the way those government chairs are? I would sit like that with my Bible, and God would be speaking to me. He would tell me about the future. Things that are happening now. 1998. But all God needed was a signpost. Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. That person was just a bait. I don't even know what she looks like now. I am not interested. The same way you could be in a phase in your life, and whatever is happening to you is just like God pulling you. And you are being distracted. This is just a side attract. Nobody holds the steering looking at flyover bridges and banners. Hey, picnic has put another... Don't kill us, oh. Just focus on what you are doing. The banner is for those who are seated, not for the person driving. The same way God put a bait and he put signposts throughout eternity, and people will see some, there's a man called Elijah. So after he goes, a man will come again. His name will be Elijah. But so people were expecting John to come bearing the name Elijah. But he came in the spirit of Elijah. Only if you are a person waiting for the fulfillment of that prophecy will you have recognized that this guy is John, but the spirit in him is Elijah. Signpost everywhere. Everything God was doing were just giving us signposts. And you need to, it takes staying with God to realize that this thing that you are going through in your life is just a 2 years problem. You don't need to pray about it. It comes with its own expiry date. You don't need to pray, just weather it. Imagine David. Lord, convince my brothers. I don't want them to be hostile to me. I'm only serving to forgive them. Shadabadaba. Regedegede. Say, Oga, you need the hostility to be serious. You need the hostility because you will need to give them food in the future and kill Goliath. Samuel prophesied to David and said the Lord has chosen to be king. Samuel never told David he will need to kill a giant to be king. Pastor Mika did not tell him. Esther, we know they tell everybody everything. Can you imagine as detailed as Samuel is? He told him about the decision of heaven. He never told him he will be faced with trials. He never told David that he will be homeless for years. That he will become a personal non grata. He will not be able to move on the streets again. Because whoever sees him and reports to the king will get a reward. But it was his prophecy that caused it. But every time he seems to be in a challenge, God will raise somebody for him. Somebody out of nowhere to support them, to feed them. He was just living day by day. God, I was doing fine, no? I was doing fine. Sincerely, you may not know. I was doing fine. Until you started telling me, showing me maps of nations in my dreams. I was fine, no? Sincerely. That boy, you know it was because of you, I didn't mind. I was fine, sincerely. I just want you to know that I was fine. Because the things that I'm going through now, you are not saying anything. But it's because of you. David went through more than 13 years of trial. And all God gave him were songs. Anytime he's discouraged, he carries his guitar. I can call you Father because you ransomed me. Of all the things I've done, he would just be singing. They know him as the singing prophet. Oh, Holy Father, reconciling song. They were not asking, sir, what's the title of this one? It's called Reconciling Songs. Let's write it down. Many of the psalms in the Bible were psalms of his travails. The things he went to, you just use it as prayer point. Oh, my enemies. The brother that wrote that psalm was running for his life. He wasn't defeating his enemies. Say, if I read Psalm 35 for you, 3 times. Oh, God, calm down. Calm down. That's what they do for that place. In the New Testament, Hebrews also establishes in chapter 9, verse 22, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There is no remission of sin. There are sins that require the forgiveness of your friends or your partner. There are sins that can only be forgiven when blood is shed. And the good news is that killing a ram now will no longer be necessary. Because what that means is that only a few people will be able to get their sins forgiven. Because a ram now probably costs somewhere above $1 million. Right? Which means only the rich will have the attention of God. So God loves poor people. Amen? I say God loves poor people. If you get it, you get it. God loves poor people. And when he died, he thought of poor people and rich people. And let me tell you, your wealth only means something to you. It doesn't mean anything to him. The only reason and only way he considers what you have is if that thing is useful for the benefit of mankind and for the propagation of the gospel. That's all. So if you chop alone, you die alone. If you get it, you get it. If you don't get it, forget about it. Now let me tell you something here, very important. Before the high priest, there are two things or three things I want to quickly bring to your attention. When the priest is going before the Lord to pray for the sins of the people, the scripture says that he must first of all purify himself. Are we aware of that? He will first purify himself. And I cannot explain this enough. And some of you need to understand that sometimes for us to hear God at certain levels, we must separate ourselves. We must purify ourselves. We may decide to wait on him to cleanse us. Lord, search me peradventure there's any evil way in me. And let me tell you, even as your pastor, I remain open and accountable to you. So that peradventure, if I have a stain behind me, you will say, pastor, there's a stain on your shirt. I am not the Holy Ghost. And I am not the deputy Holy Ghost. If the Lord has put me in your life to tell you you're wrong, then you are also in my life to assist me. Kaganeko? Uh-huh. Don't say he's the most holy, most eminent pastor. I'm not the most holy or most. I am also open and giving to errors. And sometimes I may be doing it righteously. You need to, Brapat, you need to say, pastor, go home. Way over. Go and rest. Because if something happens to me, God will find another man. Then when I get to him, say, you sit down. Oh, King Bono, I told you to take care of yourself. I told you that your best friend is asleep. You went to listen to someone that said you should be praying all through the night. You now you're 35, you are dead. Oh yeah, sit down. We'll look for another man. There are messages that are preached, but they are not for you. If you know that the state of your health, you are managing your blood pressure, you're having some kind of, you don't stay awake at night, sleep. You will just make yourself a victim of doctors. God loves you, but they will recall you early. Because if you are managing your blood pressure, you must not play with your sleep. And for some of you who know what I'm saying, if your phone even vibrates, you wake up, you can't sleep again. Leave the phone in the parlor and commit everyone who will call into the hands of God. God, wherever they are, take care of them, protect them, answer their prayers. It became so bad for me that iPhone 12 Pro on the left, because I'm a left-handed person, on the left. So once you call like this, I just speak. The other 12 on the right. If I miss the sword of Jehu, you will not miss the rod of Elisha. So I just position myself. Some doctrines are godly, they are doctrinal, they are biblical, but they may not be for you. I spoke to a particular pastor who is a dear friend of mine, a fast regular, like extended fast, 120 days, 60 days. And I said to him, I said, bro, how have you been doing it of late? He said, well, I've had to deal with some pain around my lower abdomen. So I've decided when I fast, wherever the grace is, if it's 5 p.m., I'll go on my knees. Father, I thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord. But you say, I'll start praying. Say, Guze, we know be small picking again. You have to take care of your health. And I just watched him. He's not saying he can't fast. So he's doing 40 days. Oh. He's not looking for a reason to break his fast. But after a certain level, you get to a point, the doctors can't find what is wrong with you. It took a pharmacist to say, Pastor, do you still do your extended fast? He said, yes. Do you take lots of water? I say no. He said, go and get this keg of, is it 4.5 liters? The one we use in buying fuel. That small keg. They be drinking it every day. Once you open it, drink, sip, 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 drink, drink, the pain left. The truth of the matter is that you can't say you are on a long fast and you drink as much water as you want. Because even when you want to break your fast, you just take just enough water. You don't really, you have not taken the quota for that day. Over a period of time, you do something to your body, you now need to depend on drugs. So if I tell you do 79 nights of prayer and fasting, use wisdom. If I tell you, what that means is that you are going to do 79 nights, but you may not do it the way I do it. Huh? I may be doing 12 to 5, but you know you are going to work tomorrow. And on your system, you are the one that you do transactions in 9 zeros, 10 zeros. Nobody will understand that it was a snake that ate the money. So, no. You remember that woman? Say so. Say snake. I don't know. I'm sure you know the case died a natural death. My God. My God. That was the story of the century. And the woman, we don't even remember her name again. She's my wife. Let her go. We are all stealing. Leave her. She has 5 children. Leave her. 5 million. You and the snake, you can go. You and the snake can go. The priest must prepare himself. Huh? He must purify himself. Washes himself. Wears white, simple linen garment. Follow. White, simple white linen garment, signifying purity, cleanliness. It stands before God symbolically. Before I go in for the people, touch me, cleanse me. There are people who went into spiritual warfare because they didn't take care of their own loose ends. The devil came after them, they didn't survive it. They died. That's why you don't see a lot of people saying the deliverance ministry is part of what Jesus came to do. He came to set the captives free. Forget that all these Oyinbo people Nigerians speaking through their nose. Hey, Lagbara, you don't have power. You don't have power. So you say it's not about it's not. When you see Azazel, You know Azazel? You don't know Azazel? The scapegoat. If you have a dream, ordinary dream, you just see a serpent moving through your parlor. It's a dream. I know you don't believe in anything, but the serpent has 3 heads. I was going to the room where your daughter is sleeping. I ask you sincerely, it's just a dream. Will you sleep again that night? Shout that, you that, every time I say, we don't need to shout for God to hear us. You say, he who touches me, my daughter touches the apple of my eye. I will come. Sister, what's the problem? Let us sleep. It's not your daughter. If it was your daughter, you would do more than what I'm doing. Say, the man must prepare himself, cleanse himself, prepare for that. And I will tell you, Jesus also went through this. Jesus sat in a man's house and he was eating. having fun, and a woman came. And the designation of that woman is that she was an harlot. In other words, she was the representation of sin. Huh? Jesus did not come there to eat, if I must tell you. He came there to wait for that woman. How history tells the story and how God sees that event, different. Your story, when you get to heaven and they give you your book to read, you will see certain things like, no, this is not how it happened. This is what really happened. You'll be sure. When you get to, just ask for your book. You will see certain things that were expected to happen that didn't even happen. Like, this one was 2 years away from this event. You remember this event? When you had to wait after you didn't do well in your work. And you say, see, this one was supposed to happen. You say, so how did I miss it? Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew. You didn't have the strength for this. That's why it was taken away. There's a strength required to power this generator. You didn't have it, so we suspended it. Because time was against you. That woman came, and everybody saw the harlot in her. It's just the same way somebody comes in here now with a very shiny, expensive cleavage and micro mini skirt, and she's light skinned or very dark skinned. Say, please, I'll like to see the pastor. Pastor Kwe, just say, come. Pastor Buki, please, let me attend to her. God sent her to wash my feet. But for us, she's not righteous enough. We want to the spirit of lust. We want to come and attack our pastor. The bodyguards of Jesus, they were busy looking at the doctrinal implication of what she was doing. And they still missed it too. Nobody even thought that, don't touch him. They were saying, in fact, the Pharisee said, if he was a real man, I now know this man is not a real man of God. If he was, I was beginning to like him. He would have known, God would have revealed it to him that he was going to further in the battle. God may not have revealed it. I'm saying this because he revealed it. He may not have revealed it and still he will take the glory. The man sat with Jesus, was adding talking. Do you know that that moment, that brother was, the Pharisee was giving Jesus an extra piece of meat. And say, Master, relax, eat. In his heart, what was he saying? If this man was a real prophet, he would have known that this woman was an harlot. You don't allow something. You see, all this Pentecostal rascalism. We are free. We hug the hug. We give yourself a holy kiss. It's destroying the church. We are a man of God. We are still trying to convince the Pharisee to accept. See now. And there are people here. There are people who saw you. Girl was touching your leg. So if we are not here, what would she be doing? What would she be touching? But he sat with Jesus. There was another disciple there. I know this perfume. Talidios. Do you remember when we were in Dubai? At the Burj Khalifa. Do you remember? You remember? He said, you are right. It's the same perfume. My God. This prostitute business, they perform. This guy came on you. The scripture says it was 1 year salary. She was. Do you know that? Before that, you know I told you, there is something that is written in eternity. There is something that is given as a blueprint. The Lord will just wake that lady up and say, start saving your money. The lady would not have had any inkling. She didn't even hear a voice. She just felt like, I need to start saving my salary, my money, whatever I'm making here. I need to buy something. But I don't know. Just has this impression, this inclination. It's just, and sometimes you just have to learn to trust your gut feeling. This lady didn't know until she heard Jesus was around. There was nobody at the entrance to stop her that day. God just made sure everybody went to look for extra drinks, extra wine, and she just came in. She had access. came straight to Jesus. Do you know that the Pharisees, and if you think Jesus is someone that is on the billboards, when the soldiers saw him at the Garden of Gethsemane, they didn't know who he was. Oh. They didn't know who he was. This lady somehow knew. And she came straight to him. If your salary was, what's the average salary now? Let's say 500K. So the lady came with 6 million naira in bag. And came and started using bundles of money. In quote, to wash his leg. 1 year salary, he didn't touch one dime of it. The equivalent of 1 year salary. You know? The Pharisee who knew liturgy, who knew doctrine, had the perspective. Our brother and apostle and pastor in waiting, Judas, also felt that this was a waste. We can't, we should have used this thing to buy land for the church. We need a screen here. We need to buy Bibles, do welfare. We need to provide food for the hungry. Sometimes I know they don't understand this, our master. If they do some, the guy they give tables. Sometimes they do some. I know. Well, it is what it is. It is what it is. But me, I know if I was the one, this is what I would have done. That's how Absaloms are born. That's how Absalom starts. You just believe that if you are the pastor, you do it better. That's how we create Absalom. And they don't live long. Judas too, know they live long. They were doing that. Jesus was in the midst of them. There was only one woman that was not interested in whatever they were feeling. She made Jesus the object of her worship. But do you know that in the realm of the spirit, the heavens had another perspective to what she was doing? What was that? Jesus said, she has come to prepare my body. For what? For burial. The high priest, before going into the holiest of all, must first purify, wash himself. And God got, he found a woman that was unrighteous, a woman that didn't fit the criteria to do it. Because these other ones were just too religious for it. Jesus fulfilled that condition. I'm talking about sprinkling the blood in the mercy seat. The second thing that the priest must do here is to offer a sacrifice. Blood must be shed for the priest before he steps into God's presence. Are you together so far? And somewhere in the scripture, I believe that should be in the Garden of Gethsemane. If you can get that scripture, just put it up somewhere. So, Jesus went there to pray. And let me also say this as an aside. You need to be very careful about fulfilling divine prophecies in the flesh. Or by the flesh. If you notice everything Jesus did as he proceeded to the cross, he wasn't being reckless. In fact, if there was any time Jesus was being specific about anything he wanted, it was in those final moments. Say, go to this specific house. Tell the man who will use his house. Huh? He specifically selected 3 people. Come with me, let's pray. He didn't take everybody. You wait here. Judas, you are not supposed to be part of us. He allowed him go. It's not the time to say, we have been together. Judas, after all I did for you, are wasting time, sir. Allow the boy to go. He has just a few days to leave. You can't do anything with Judas. I am telling you, you can't do anything with Judas. Anybody that calls you out, the way Judas called, what Judas did there was call out Jesus. You may not know what he did there. From the moment Jesus allowed that perfume to be wasted, he had become offended. And the scripture said he left there and went to confer with the Pharisees on how they were going to deliver him. What is this? I'm following you. I believe in God. Not all this kind of way. You put yourself on the billboard. If you want to serve God, let's serve God. It looked like a righteous cause. But he took money. The moment you take money, you cannot say it is you didn't know what you are doing. The moment there's some form of value exchange for you, you cannot lay claim and say, we didn't really talk about money. We just wanted to do the right thing. Hey, Judas, you will not live long. The moment Jesus got into the garden and began to pray for strength, Jesus also knew that there was no way he could achieve this commission without the help of his father. So he started praying. Lord, if it were possible, but if it is your will, I need your grace. And the scripture says that the angels came and they did what? They strengthened him. And I love this. Joseph, please come. You know, when I read these scriptures, I just imagine, please just kneel here. You are Jesus today. Anyway, it is your son that we are crucifying. Or that we crucified anyway, so but he's alive now. Can you imagine Joseph, who didn't live very long, actually? Only for him to get to heaven and find that Jesus was also back in heaven. Okay? So quick. He said yes. But you meet a glorified Lord. So he won't be saying, my son, you wish your son. You know, see where. You know, since I'll be the king of glory. I said, some of you, you will die of heart attack when Jesus speaks Pidgin English to you in heaven. You say, I beg. Give me the real Jesus. So, God, that me, you shine your eye. Wish you luck. Jesus was praying, asking for strength. You know what the angels came, they did? They came around him and did something like this. Strengthening him. You are born for this. You will get to the other line. This is the Father's will. You will go through with it. Don't talk too much. You will need your strength. Don't talk too much. But you will die. Strengthening. Conversations happening in the place of prayer. Place of prayer. If Peter was with him that day, he would not have heard those conversations. All he will find that after that, just will stand up and say, we are ready. The Jesus that went on his knees there was not the one that got up. This one went on his knee negotiating. The second one stood up ready. So the moment he had an encounter with God, please thank you, sir. The moment he had an encounter with God, the first thing that came to his doorstep was offense. Judas came through. And that is how one of the ways you will know you've had an encounter. Satan will arrange before you a string of offensive assaults. The scripture said, if it was my enemy that did this, I would not have been bothered. But it was you, my brother. It was you. We slept together in the same bed. We ate together. We had fellowship together. You betrayed me. Do you know what really happened to Jesus in that garden? As he was praying, he began to bleed. He fulfilled the second condition, that blood must be shed for the priest himself before he proceeds to intercede for the people. I know we Pentecostals have explained it in different ways, that he prayed that we should pray until we bleed. I have been praying. I'm here to bleed. And I don't know anybody who, because if you even pray now in this church and you start bleeding, I will ask my area boys to take you to the hospital immediately. I don't want to think you are another Jesus somewhere. I will rush you to one health hospital or the Catholic hospital here. Eba, me check. Check him. He's bleeding. Because now we have 2 gallons already. Check him. Don't come and die here. Which kind of prayer life is this? Our brother, our Lord began to bleed, thereby fulfilling the second condition. Now proceeding into the mercy seat. He cannot go in without blood. This third one was fulfilled when he resurrected. It was not when he ascended to the heavens and 500 people saw him. It was when he stood and Mary was there. And Mary, being a lover of Jesus, the way some of you say, fast. Not touch me. Not be like that deal. Not touch me. I just come back. Not touch me. Jesus said, don't touch me. He said, and his reason was very significant. He said, I have not yet, what? Ascended. I have not presented myself before my Father. There was something with him there. There was the token of the covenant. The reason why he went to the cross. That item, I am coming with it. You can't touch me. When the high priest is going into the holiest of all, nobody touches him. What was it that he carried? It is the Leviticus that will tell us that when he's going in with blood. When the high priest is going into God's presence, he's going with blood. When the high priest is going into God's presence, he's going in with blood. And when he gets to the mercy seat, he puts his finger into the blood 3 times. He sprinkles upon the mercy seat. Then he marches forward and begins to bring the sins of the people. Oh my God, this is beautiful. I'm seeing Jesus in his priestly garment. He is not the same Jesus we knew. This time he is dressed in his priestly garment. The only office he maintains till today, the ministry of the priest and intercessor, through which he administers his teaching ministry. Ah. Jesus stood before God and said, this is the blood of God. In fact, the book of Hebrews tells us that through this blood, the heavens were sanctified. He laid claim. Whatever the blood touches, he claims it. Whatever the blood touches, he claims it. When the blood touched you, he claimed you. When the blood touched you, he claimed you. When the blood touched you, even though your family rejected you, he claimed you. When the blood touched you, even though you had an abortion and the doctor is saying, he claimed you. If the blood touches you, it claims you. When Jesus got to the heavens, he claimed the heavens. Say, let all creation worship him. Say, for thy throne, O God, is forever. Your scepter, your kingdom, is your authority is an everlasting one. Oh, those are conversations after you were resurrected. But somebody captured it in the Old Testament. I tell you, when you read the scripture, you need to ask yourself, is this thing something that has happened? Or is it something that is yet to happen? There are conversations in the book of Psalms in Isaiah. The book of Isaiah and Psalms, they are like the gateway into the New Testament from the Old Testament. When you read Isaiah, you read Psalms, there are some of these particular prophetic books. It's like as though you are seeing Christ in a different way. When Jesus got there, he had your name with him. He had my name with him. He had your name with him. Shekau's name was also there. You don't know Shekau? Shekau's name was there. What was the one, that one we bombed in, that the Americans killed? Osama bin Laden. His name was there. His name was there. Everybody's name. And when he stood before God, he said, like I said just before I died, it is finished. Now the doors can be opened. No more restrictions. Let the nations come. And since from then till now, in every generation, God stands before it and raises apostles for himself. He will not wait for our own failure to do what he needs to do. Just the same way he's waiting at the gateway of our children's generation. When we think their generation will not serve God, he's waiting there to say, as I walked with your father, I will walk with you. Arise, child of God, you are an apostle. Arise, child of God, you are a prophet. Arise, child of God, you will be my minister. He will stand because he is the one who calls people with gifts. He is the one, it is Jesus, who caused men to fivefold ministries. He will not wait for you to do it. We can be emotional about what's happening to the younger generation, but we are not as passionate as he is. Because he is the one standing between the gate of this generation and the next one, and he's going to call his sons. He said, out of the wilderness, I have called my sons. He's going to call them. Your son, your grandson, may be the one that will initiate a worldwide revival in a country like India. He may do something that is very unique. You don't know. That is why your alignment and obedience is very important to him. That's why God kept a bloodline clean from the beginning. And he kept until it came down to David, until it got down to Jesus. God can be doing something for thousands of years, picking certain people from specific families for one particular endpoint that is only clear to him. You must be very historic in your mindset, and you must have record. What a lifetime to be able to see what God is actually doing. And God will not allow anybody live long enough to spoil his whatever he's doing. You will not live long enough. Come and sleep. You have tried. Come and the way God's servant Kenneth Hagin served the Lord, I would have preferred him to be alive. To bring balance to a lot of things. But he said, come home. When he left, Some of us, our faith like, wow. Oh. The word did not end. Today we remember him as though he was not even dead. When we read his books, we don't even think he's dead. If you didn't know him, you wouldn't know he's the man is with the Lord. He writes as though he's here with us. Yet there are men that are with us and yet they are already dead and they are gone. Listen, when Jesus moved from that point of resurrection, he didn't go to Peter immediately. He first went to the heavens and presented the blood to his father. And that was placed in the true temple where he will officiate his intercessory and priestly ministry from. Then he came back to earth, went to get Peter, gathered 500, and he appeared to them. This time he ate with them. This time they could touch him. This time they could not defile him. He hugged them. He said to this brother, Thomas, he said, touch me. He said, for a ghost does not have flesh and bone, not flesh and blood, because his blood now was with the father. Flesh and bone. He had flesh and bone. So he was not a ghost. He was a new kind of creature. So therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new kind of creature. The old is gone. What we are can only be defined from our first, which is Christ. Fully spirit, fully man. Fully God, fully man. You need to understand the legal framework upon which if a man stands before God and say, I receive into my life. The legal framework that allows that man's sin to be forgiven. You need to understand this so that you don't think it's a gamble, it's a game. No! The moment a man says, Jesus, I come to you, there are so many back-end computer processes, zero and one, binary language, that goes into motion. The only thing you see is that something shows on the computer screen. But so many things have happened in 1 second of that brother saying, I will follow you. And that's why we need to be grateful. Hallelujah. We need to thank God it was not Abraham that died for us. Thank God it wasn't David. God gave us Jesus. And when he gave us Jesus, he gave us his best. When God gave us Jesus, he gave us his best. And when he gave us the Holy Spirit, he gave us all, everything, everything. He said, I in them and they in us, that we might become one. Do you know exactly what we are saying? That you are here, a living temple, a living tabernacle. That what God had always wanted was to live with man. That the idea of Jesus dying was not about being religious. It was about having living tabernacles on earth. So that when we say, Father, we invite you, we will not need to look up, we will look in. Come on, are you here? When we say, Father, you are welcome in the name of Jesus, we look up as the way we have been trained. But the Holy Spirit has been here for more than 2,000 years now. It's no more up there, it's here. Hallelujah. 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 In Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12, he said, we were not redeemed, not with the blood of goats or calves. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. What God gave to us was not a part-time project. What God wanted to do in us was something that will lead us back to him. So that on that day, when it comes, if it comes, whichever comes first. Anatu, when you stand before him, you will see the one you believed but you never saw. You will see the one that on that day when you came to him, you poured out your heart and said, I will follow you for the rest of my life. You will see the one whom Stephen, when he was about to be killed, Jesus, who the scripture said is seated at the right hand of God, stood up. Whatever makes him stand must be very significant. Say, he delights in the death and the bones of his servants. Stephen was going to die and Jesus stood. But before then he had been sitting. And he received the Spirit. but left his mantle. And the mantle was searching. Who can we use here? All these specialists, MBA in stoning, executive stoning degree, certificate in stoning, PhD, stoning theory. The theory of fundamentals. PhD emeritus. Professor emeritus. They said there's one man among them. This one looks like, even though he can stone, he went to school. What's his name? Say his name is Saul. Let's try him. Let's try him. The team fits him. Oh, yeah, wait. The brother left that meeting inheriting something. He had no idea. Do you know you can have an encounter and not know? You can have an encounter, you will fall under the anointing. The guy came to stone. He left there with a calling. And he didn't even feel any different. He just, you know, I just sense the Lord is doing something. He didn't sense anything. The brother was just there. We have taken the ringleader. This one will be a warning. The next person is Peter. He was still on his way. Weeks and months after, on his way to Damascus. But you see, the blood was already speaking. Because this blood talks. I said this blood talks. It's not a quiet blood though. Since the day it was shed, he started talking. That is why you are still standing. It's not because you are so righteous. The blood says we still have a purpose for this one. We still have a reason for her. Leave her. She's mine. This one is mine. I know she's guilty, but she's mine. Yeah, but she's mine. Her name is written in the book of life. Her name is written with blood. Say, let him come. Saul was on his way. And you see, Saul would later come back and explain many of these things to us in scripture. Oh, thank God for Paul. You know, there are many things we would never have known if not for Paul. Paul took his time. All the prison sentence was enough time for him to write. It wasn't time for him to cry. Why is all this happening to me? Right. This generation, if something bad happens, God, why? Please bring me the parchments. Bring me some pencils. Give me some parchment. I need to write. While I'm here, it's some good writing time. Say the epistles unto the Romans. I, Paul, the bond servant. I call to be an apostle. I say, I sign this letter with my own hand. Timothy will deliver that which is remaining. This one will bring to you. He said, tell Archippus to stand in his ministry of intercession. He was writing. He wasn't doing it for a place of convenience. It takes a man to have met with God to know that obstacles are just side attractions. They're nothing. If it so happens that I'm not here tomorrow and I go to be with the Lord, you almost march on like nothing happened. Don't put my picture on this thing and say, remembering the general Vasia. You are defacing this. Huh? If you want to honor me, you can put it. We are not worshipping the portrait. Because that's how woman worship starts. They will first say they want to appreciate him. They will put the picture here. Chamamau. Before you know it, will start bowing down there, rolling down. Someone will say, while I touch the mirror, the glass, I got my miracle. So, Biko, let me rest in peace. I've done my own. Just let me rest in peace. The brother was on that journey. And then a bright light. Let me tell you, if for nothing, from the day that Stephen died in his hands, he was marked. If you see the way some of these mafias, the way they operate, once you are, if you kill a member of their whatever, and they mark you on their register, everywhere you go, their agents will know you and they're after you. He was marked. This one, Jesus didn't send angel. Jesus was the one that came like a armed robber, stood at the express, saying, "Now here you go, pass. More wait." They were not smiling, you know. You will pass here today. Even if Paul had woken up by my saying, "I don't even feel like going," you must go. you go come out today. The boy just woke up, say, "Let's say breathing threatenings." The guy had no idea that by the end of that day, he will be shouting Jesus. He left his house. Oh my God. Do you see how God is just ahead of everything? Yeah. Paul could have swore Orumila. that he was coming back with the heads of Christians. But it was his own head we came back with. The guy got there and he had a blinding light and he had an encounter. Every other person there knew something was going on, but they couldn't really explain. But this guy was having a conversation. And it was later in Acts chapter 26 that he gave us another version of that conversation. So when he met with me, he said to me that I want you to go and deliver these people out of the power of Satan into the power of the living God. Paul said, Jesus said that Satan has power. But I am giving you the greater power to go and bring men out of the influence of the power of Satan into the kingdom of his dear light. And that was all he did all his life. Was he foolish? Yes. Did he have to marry? Yes. Did he marry? Most likely no. Could he have done better? Yes. But the reason why you open your Bibles today and you can find guidance is because of one man. When your pastor tells you, pray and check the scriptures, it's because one man did the job. When Paul was writing, he didn't know that the letters would become scripture. He was just writing. And he had enough time to write. Prison sentence. Anytime God wants him to write, they will arrest him again. That's why scripture says, counting all joy when you fall into death. Everything is working out for your good. Everything. Let me shout, everything is working out for my good. That's heaven's position. That's God's position. Nothing changes it. The reason why you are not married, because it's working out for your good. Amen. The reason why you don't have a child now, because it's working out for your good. Amen. God is trying to preserve you from the travail that is to come. He's hiding you. He's keeping you. It's not the devil. He's the one hiding you, preserving you from the terror that is about to come. Apostle Paul later came and gave us an intensive teaching from the epistles on how salvation, the process, the legality, the operationality, how everything plays out. And some of these things were too much for the disciples of those days to even understand. But Paul was able to use the Torah to establish these things. I am saying to you today that if in Romans chapter 5 verse 1, please put up Romans chapter 5 verse 1 if you have the New Living Translation. Quickly, let's round up. I want Pastor Kola to close this session. Yeah, so just finish what I'm start. Continue and finish. Amen. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Give me Amplified. Either Amplified. Let's try Amplified. Therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, suggesting that we were in court. There was a sentence over your head, as beautiful as you are. You're a criminal. I was a criminal. He said, we have been declared. Did he say we did something and became righteous? He said, we declared. Righteous there means that we went to court and we won. He said, we've been given a right standing with God. Do you know what a right standing is? Brother Pat, let me show you what a right standing is. Right standing is, if we're in court, no matter, let's assume you are my father, biological father, but you are the one ruling on my case. I cannot come to court and say, Carlos, sir, morning, sir. How's your wife? Have you eaten? How are you feeling? Don't worry. Everything fine. Your mom said I should greet you. See people seated, waiting for the organ to start the meeting. And you are saying, so, did they beat you? You are not looking very well. Please, we need to change this judge because this one is asking about the criminal. You know, it would have been. But you see, the judge is also trained. Like my doctor in the UK told me, that after you have trained you in medicine, there's one course you must take before they let you go. It's psychology. And I said, for what? Have you seen doctors in their movies? When someone dies, man of God, they'll just look at their watch like this. What do they say? The time of death, 2 p.m. They write and they walk out. She said the emotional training to just look at someone like this and say, time of death 204. Right. And walk out. Not everybody can do it. It's easy because it's in the movies. Huh? He said there's a training for it. The first training is when you have to go to an anatomy class and sit down in the midst of dead bodies. And they put buckets there so you can throw up. They say, put your hand into the, they will mention, you put your hand, say, pull it out. You will die here. Without anatomy, you can't be a doctor. Oh yeah, cut it open. Now, look at. Sorry, how do I change department in this school? I think I have a passion for accounting. As I was here, I just discovered, like, I have more interest in accounting or whatever. There's one brother in this church. He was in medicine. He was in, you know, his story. So he was the one who gave me the gist about the anatomy class. This is good in life to know your calling early. The guy just moved to finance. He's like, if I see him doing, we're going to have Thanksgiving now. I'll just do like this. Once I point, that's the person. Man of God, but after the case, and you've won, please put up that scripture. He said, you have been declared righteous, and you have a right standing with God through faith. Let us grab the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The moment the ruling is made and the court session is over, your father can, he can take off his cap, walk up to me, say, my son, congratulations. The moment he does this, what is he saying? He has been declared righteous. Once he shakes my hand, it's a public show. So it was not only a public disgrace that Jesus gave Satan. He also gave a public declaration that I and all that the Lord has given me, they are for signs and for wonders. Thank you, sir. Please, let me tell your neighbor, God is showing you off. Let me preach to your neighbor like you believe God is showing you off. Please, let me preach to someone that believes actually that God is showing you off. So when you leave this meeting today, there is now no condemnation. To those who are in Christ. So are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Is your whole existence in Christ? The Lord said we should tell you that there is no condemnation that we stand against your name. And it is on this premise that we go into spiritual warfare. It is on this premise that we take both steps of faith. It is on this premise of what he has said that we know that there is no power made of man that we have authority over us. Say there is no weapon that is formed against you that will prosper. Say this is the heritage of my sons. Say their righteousness is of me. Their righteousness. The reason why, because their righteousness is from me. So any weapon formed by man or spirit will not stand. And that's why you are still standing. Half of the battles you have won, you didn't know anything about it. So, as I round up, and I'll bring up God's servant to just round up this session. There's a song that we used to sing in my former church. I've gone to many churches. Many churches have my card number. I have their card number. But this one is a Pentecostal church. We didn't have so many instruments, but we had our hands. Brother me, I don't know if you were in our church then, but there was a song we used to sing. You see, everything that I've preached about today is about the hope and the promise. Everything that God proposed to do and what he did. But in my former church, they did not understand hope and promise. What they understood was, when I remember his promise, I shout hallelujah when I remember his promise. I shout hallelujah when I remember, when I remember, when I remember. Where are my Igbo brethren?
Remember his promise. I shout hallelujah
when I remember, when I remember, when I remember his promise.
When I remember his promise. I shout hallelujah.
When I remember, when I remember, when I remember his
promise. When I remember his
promises,
I shout hallelujah.
Hello, ni mo son,
hello, ni mo son, baba ogo, more,
hello. Eba mi gbe Jesu ga Eba mi golu wa logo Eba mi gbe Jesu ga Eba mi gbe baba mi ga E se o E adupe o E se o Eba mi gbe Jesu ga Eba mi gbe Jesu mi ga Eba mi gbe Jesu ga Eba mi gbe Jesu mi 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 ga Eh, I se o. Eh, I dupe o. Eh, I se o. Listen, in this season, even the hardest of criminals will come. The source of this world, the shakehouse of this world, the next time you see them, you will see that you're also in Christ. Say yes, I'm also in Christ. Say, ah. Do you know that brother that was training me on how to go into churches and get fine girls? That gave me a mandate to discredit God, to prove that everyone who went to church was not sincere. When I came to Lagos, my mom told me that their family was somewhere in Ikeja and that I should take her there. And I saw him. And he looked at me. Bengu? Ha! Bengu? Ha! So you're not in Oshodi Bank? Ha! Oh boy! So my mom was, you know, talking to the mom. So we're alone. And I said, are you still in Christ? He said, you know, it's good to know. It's good for you to know who Christ is early in your life. I said, who is talking? He said, come, come, come. He took me to his car. Say, you know, I'm currently a committed member at Daystar, and it's just good to serve God. Ha! You cannot be saved, sir. All I was remembering were the conversations. God did not even tell me that, sorry, that guy that I want to do something for him, but I hope he won't be angry. You know, he tried to derail you. But I also need it. You see, God is on a mission to save all. Yeah. And he will not apologize to you. Because the guy did something to you some time ago. He doesn't have. He's on a mandate to save all. I met this brother and the question in my heart was, what if I had turned back? Then this is how I would have run into him. And I would become ashamed that for a morsel of meat, I turned back, and the brother later found Christ and was now asking me, you know it's good to serve Jesus? I said, you cannot be saved though. Give me a razor, I will remove your name from the book of life. Ah! The The guy who taught me evil strategies is now in Christ. They said we heard that the one who once crucified the saints is now one of us. He said, and they glorified God in me. Listen, they are coming. Many of those people you are seeing on Instagram doing all those useless things, they are coming. They are coming. Listen, you don't know the resolution of our God. He will get every one of them. Huh? Then you will now hear that this one that was on Instagram is always is now in the faith. Oh, what a glorious day. That the ones, Jesus will show up on the streets. Say, what's your name? Shekau, I've been looking for you. Come. Your name will now be Paul. If you go to George, there's a man there, Isa Ebuba. Similar experience. Listen, our God is not dead. He is alive. That is the only thing our faith hangs on. That science has not been able to point to where his graveyard is. Even though they know he's alive. The history records show it, not the Bible. Historical records show that there was a man from Bethlehem who rose and he became a very strong figure, worked miracles. The records are there, documented by people who did not believe in him. But they couldn't do anything about his grave. But I know where Muhammad is. I know where Buddha is. Their graves are there. People still go there to ask for blessings. But my Jesus, where his burial ground was, is now a bus stop. And it makes perfect sense. From here, kingdom of God. From this bus stop, from this place, the gospel goes from here. And it came to Nigeria. And some time ago, I was in Command Secondary School, and it came to Bauchi. And I looked at myself. Nobody preached to me. And I looked and I said, you are a sinner. I was so young. I didn't even really have I could afford to be in sin for a few more years. I looked at myself. That thing traveled from Israel, came to Nigeria, went to the far north. Say, you are a sinner. You are worthy of death. And I found my way to a prayer meeting. And I became born again in a prayer meeting. And I know some of you have very wonderful stories. Let me tell you, that word that Jesus said, when he said it is finished, when he said go ye out into the world and make disciples, he wasn't just talking to disciples. He released the word into the atmosphere that made many who many of us never thought, children of witch doctors and abalists, people who were so deep in immorality, people who never thought they would ever come, they came and they are standing. Listen, the day we come again, our Lord will stand in the sky. And when he comes, he will not be the lamb. He will be the lion. He will be the king. Listen, that day will come. And we look forward to that day. The day of his appearing. The day of his glory. The day when there will be a trumpet sound. And the dead in Christ shall hear his voice and rise. Listen, our story doesn't end here. Oh, there's going to be a new heavens and there's going to be a new earth. Listen, and those of us who have journeyed with him, we will repopulate this universe. Listen to me, it doesn't end here. He said, for I know the plans that I have for you. They are plans of good things, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Listen to me, you might come in here wounded this morning, but listen to me, Jesus is standing with you. And he has a healing plan for you. He has a plan of restoration for you. He has a process he wants to walk you through. But you also need to be willing to go through the process. Father, I pray over everyone that is in this meeting. I ask that, Lord, just like you sprinkled the blood and mercy was released, I ask, Lord, for everyone represented in this meeting, every family that is represented here, that, Lord, you will begin to administer mercy to us again this morning in the name of Jesus. We ask for the mercy of our Lord Jesus to be released this morning in the name of God. We celebrate your death and we thank you for that which you have done and for which we are standing here. And Lord, we recommit our lives to this purpose. And we say, Lord, let your glory continue to shine. Let it shine over Nigeria. Let it shine over Egypt. Let it shine over Morocco. Let it shine over Africa. Let it shine across the United Arab Emirates. Let it shine over India. Let it shine over Nepal. Let it shine over Japan. And over all of the United Kingdom. Let it shine over the Americas. Lord, all across the world. Let this be a year of massive conversions and transformations. And let the flag of Jesus be lifted higher than it has ever been.